Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast. In particular, I'm highlighting Public Domain Video Theater, videotheater.greatdetectives.net. It is the video companion to this podcast, where every month we feature two public domain detective TV shows or movies. And this year we have been featuring Dangerous Assignment and U.S. Marshals / Sheriff of Cochise. Although we will have new programming next month, I do want to encourage you to check it out if you enjoy old school TV. And with Dangerous Assignment, you get the treat of seeing some of these programs brought from radio to television. And of course, we have new programming coming up next month, which we'll tell you about. But you can find that over at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for us to get into Ellery Queen. And this episode comes from November 18th of 1943. It's a really unique bit of radio, as it's a 15-minute episode put out by the Office of War Information. Now, there is a lovely website on Ellery Queen called Ellery Queen, a Website of Deduction, and that's at queen.spaceports.com. And according to this website, the Office of War Information took part of a 30-minute episode and turned it into this 15-minute production. Looking at the synopsis posted there, it seems like there were two distinct mysteries in this episode. I'm not certain whether there were two distinct armchair detective segments for the episode, but there was another plot which doesn't connect to this one. So essentially you had two independent plots in the same 30-minute episode. And we'll talk more about the details on this after the program. The other thing to note is that the lead had changed. In October, Sidney Smith had replaced Carlton Young in the role of Ellery Queen. The rest of the cast is the same, including Marion Shockley, who had been off the air for 9 weeks due to illness earlier in the year, was now back in the role of Nikki Porter. So now, from November 18th, 1943, here is The Wounded Lieutenant.
The Adventures of Ellery Queen. The United States government brings you a special program starring Ellery Queen, the master detective in person. A program dedicated to a speedier victory for the United Nations. Presenting the adventures of Ellery Queen, starring the celebrated detective, and with him his secretary, Nicky Porter, his father, Inspector Richard Queen, and Sergeant Veeley, in an exciting new mystery involving the United States Air Force. Now, after you've been presented with the problem, Ellery Queen will give you a chance to guess the answer before he gives you his solution. And in the studio today, we have Miss Virginia Field and Mr. Ed Sullivan, who will try their luck as armchair detectives. And now, here is Ellery Queen, the master detective and your host for the next quarter hour.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our mystery concerns one American fighting man who came back, and a great many who did not. I call it The Adventure of the Wounded Lieutenant.
Nicky, come on in.
Hello, Dad.
I've got some news about an old friend of ours.
Who's that, Inspector?
Jack Sender. He used to be Detective Sender, Homicide, Brooklyn, USA. He's now Lieutenant Center, one of Uncle Sam's finest.
Oh.
Jack Center, isn't he the chap who enlisted the day after Pearl Harbor?
That's our Jack. Well, word's come that Jack is back in the big town after seeing action far, far away. Wheelie's out trying to locate him now. By thunder, I'm taking Jack out and we'll paint the town.
Can I help you paint and things?
Sure, let's make a party of it. Hi, Wheelie. Locate Jack yet?
Yeah, Inspector. I'm locating him.
Wheelie.
What's wrong, Sergeant? Where is Lieutenant Setter?
The base hospital. I tell you, when I heard about it, Jack come back. Half of him.
Half of him?
Yeah. Both legs gone. He's asking for you, Inspector.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
So, here I am, Inspector.
Yes, Jack, we know all about it.
Oh, I don't mean what happened to me, Inspector. I was lucky.
Lucky, Lieutenant?
Well, at least I'm back, Miss Porter. My buddies, Big Tex and Little Indiana, practically my whole outfit, they'll never come back.
Tell us what happened, Lieutenant.
Well, we were overseas, Ellery. Never mind where. We had our orders, secret orders. An important offensive assignment. Its success depended on catching the enemy completely by surprise. Every precaution was taken against a leak. And yet...
They were waiting for you, Jack?
In the exact spot, Inspector. At exactly the right time. Outnumbered us 20-1. We never had a chance. The lives of all those swell guys sacrificed. Because there was a leak somewhere.
Wasn't an investigation made at the base, Lieutenant?
On the spot, I'm told. They grabbed the rat who passed the vital information out of the enemy. Half-caste native waiter. They couldn't get a word out of him. How did he find out? Such exact information. I'll vouch for every man in that outfit.
Suppose you give us an exact account of what happened the last time you and the boys were in the presence of the native spy, Lieutenant.
Well, we were in a little tavern, sitting around a table. Tex and Indiana and I, just kicking the time away. So what did the USO gal say, Tex?
Say, Jack. Why, she said to me, "Lieutenant, can you jitterbug?" I said, "Ma'am, can a hound dog scratch, please?" Why, the boys even named our ship Jitterbug after me.
How'd you make out, Tex?
Indiana, I darn near busted my leg and two of hers.
How about another round?
Yeah, man.
Hey, boy. Boy, here you are.
Yes, sir. Three more pops, boy.
Three pops, yes, sir.
Fight for Uncle Sammy, see the world on Sody Pop, and like it. Hey, Indiana, why are you moping around like a doggy?
Me, Tex? I was just thinking.
Thinking? About what, Indiana?
Home, Jack.
Oh.
Oh, here's the garçon with her pop. Lucky the boys back home can't see me.
Clean pop, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I will clean table.
Elm Street would look mighty good to me right now. Elm Street and Maisie. The kid.
Yeah. I wonder how Broadway looks in a dim out.
You know, it's a funny thing. When I was a yearling riding herd, I used to say to my horse, "Bronc, someday I'm going to see Africa, or Alaska, or South America. The places you'd read about."
Nice letter I got. Maisie wrote, the kid's 10 months old. He's trying to walk already. Kid that's never seen his old man. Me here and him and his mother on an Indiana farm.
Hey, guys, Look at the time.
Yeah. Oh. We better hit the hay if we're going to get a good night's rest.
Wish I could see my kid tonight.
Oh, buck up, Indiana. You're going to see the dawn come up like thunder. Hey, boy.
Yes, sir.
Bring us the check.
And that's all, Ellery. When we went into action, there was the enemy laying for us. Were we surprised? A handful of us that lived to be surprised. I saw them all go. Tex, who was always cheering us up. Poor Indiana. This kid will never see him in this world.
Gosh, Ellery, I can't understand it.
You should, Nicky. There was a crime committed.
Yes, sir.
A crime, Maestro? Oh, you mean that two-time a native waiter, that dirty spy?
No, Vili. I mean the crime by which the spy was tipped off.
Tipped off? Now, look here, Ellery. If you're cracking that one of my buddies was a traitor...
No, Lieutenant. He was a good American soldier who was committing the crime without realizing it. If he'd been on the alert, watching his tongue, he'd have stopped himself in time.
What crime?
The crime of loose talk, Jack.
Yes. In this case, Lieutenant, loose talk gave your secret attack away to the native spy. He transmitted his information to the enemy. Result? Annihilation of an entire fighting force.
But, Ellery, I didn't notice any loose talk in Lieutenant Sanders' story.
Of course not. Nobody said anything that night that gave the show away.
But someone did say something that gave the show away. In fact, several things. Lieutenant, that night loose talk answered three vital questions the enemy is always interested in. What, when, and where.
And you know too, Ellery?
Yes, I do.
Well, I haven't even told you what branch of the armed forces we were in.
All right, Lieutenant, I'll prove it to you. I'll tell you what kind of attack you were going to make, when you were going to make it, and where. All from loose talk. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery, and I hope a solution as well. Nikki, will you be good enough to introduce our guest armchair detectives?
Well, Ellery, our first guest is the lovely star of stage and screen, Miss Virginia Field. Miss Field is currently starring in the smash Broadway hit Dough Girls and the new Sol Lesser motion picture success, Stage Door Canteen. Our second guest is the famous newspaper columnist, Ed Sullivan. In two nights at Madison Square Garden, Mr. Sullivan raised more than $500,000 for the Red Cross and Army Relief. All right, Ellery?
Miss Field, what kind of attack was the lieutenant involved in?
I don't know.
When was the attack to be made?
The attack was to be made at dawn.
And where was the attack to be made?
The attack was to be made in the east, I believe.
Thank you, Miss Field. And now, Mr. Sullivan, what kind of attack was the lieutenant involved in?
Well, it was one of two kinds. It was either an airplane attack or a motorboat torpedo attack.
When was the attack to be made?
At dawn.
Where was the attack to be made?
I'd say on China from India.
Thank you very much. I won't tell you now whether you've solved the mystery correctly, because that wouldn't be fair to our audience. But if you'll listen, I'll tell you how I solved the adventure of the wounded lieutenant.
But, Ellery, I don't see how you could know.
But I do know, Lieutenant, exactly as that native spy knew. Well,
okay. What kind of attack were we making?
Well, Lieutenant, take that little story Tex was telling you in Indiana in the canteen. Exactly what did Tex say? He said, "Why, the boys even named our ship Jitterbug after me." Innocent remark, but careless. So careless, it answered the first of those three vital questions.
But how did that give away Jack's outfit, Maestro?
You tell him, Dad.
Neely. To what type of fighting equipment do the armed forces permit the boys to give a jazzy name like Jitterbug? A battleship? Cruiser? Aircraft carrier? No. Nothing like that.
I know. A plane.
Right, Nikki. And since Tex called it our ship, it could only have been a plane with a crew, a big fellow. So the native spy knew that Lieutenant Center and the others were airmen, that the attack would be by air and by big planes, a bombing attack.
Yeah. But how about when, Ellery? You said we gave away the time of the attack, too.
At the end of your three-cornered conversation, Lieutenant, you called attention to the hour. Indiana agreed it was time to go to bed. Then Tex said, "Buck up, Indiana. You're going to see the dawn come up like thunder." Dawn. Obviously, the attack was to be made at dawn after you boys had to get a good night's rest. Dawn of the following morning.
Oh, sure, that's it.
I caught those two, Ellery. But how about where? The place of the attack.
Dad, why should Tex use the very unusual phrase, "You're going to see the dawn come up like thunder"? Because having the place of attack on his mind, it unconsciously suggested that unusual phrase to him. So the clue must be in the phrase. Where does that phrase come from?
Where the dawn comes up like thunder?
Rudyard Kipling's poem. The famous song.
Oh, of course. On the road to Mandalay.
Yes, Mandalay, Burma.
Oh.
So I knew that you men were probably based in India. And I knew, as that native spy knew, that your outfit was going to make a bombing attack on the road to Mandalay the next morning at dawn. gentlemen, bits and pieces of information scientifically put together to make a complete pattern, these are what our enemies use to learn the secrets of ourselves and our allies. And unfortunately, many of these bits and pieces are given to them by entirely innocent people. Not only by servicemen, as in the story you've just heard, but by civilians, too. For example,
a girl mentions that her sweetheart is sailing. A mother can't resist talking about her sailor son's ship. A businessman mentions the cargo of trucks he saw on the docks. And a vessel carrying our soldiers and their equipment may be attacked, perhaps sunk, at sea.
So remember, all good Americans, careless talk costs lives. Think before you talk. When troop movements, ships, production of war materials are involved, follow this simple rule. If you hear it from someone, don't repeat it. If you see it yourself, don't repeat it. But if you read it in the newspapers or magazines or hear it on the radio, then it's public property and you can go ahead and talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellery Queen. You have just heard The Adventure of the Wounded Lieutenant, a guest performance of The Adventures of Ellery Queen, especially transcribed for the United States government and dedicated to a speedier victory for the United Nations. Our thanks to Ellery Queen, Nikki, Inspector Queen, Sergeant Dealey, and the supporting cast, to our guests Virginia Field and Ed Sullivan, to Director Bruce Kamen and Conductor Charles Paul for their splendid contribution. This is Ernest Chappell asking you to remember that careless talk costs lives. Don't give aid to the enemy. Think before you talk. Don't discuss troop movements, ships, production of war materials with anyone. Follow these simple rules. If you hear it from someone, don't repeat it. If you see it yourself, don't repeat it. But if you read it in the newspapers or hear it on the radio, it's safe to talk about it.
Welcome back. Even as half an episode, I think this works as an Ellery Queen story. And doubtless that's the reason why they were able to do this. I think that most other detective series, this would seem especially forced. But Ellery Queen was all about the puzzle, and such is the perfect candidate to explore innocent utterances that might provide clues to enemy spies. They even managed to get in the armchair detectives, at least some of them. Now, according to the website I found, this came from the West Coast version of the Ellery Queen program, and there was a third armchair detective listed for that, a Mrs. F. Cooper. Although it's possible that they had Ed Sullivan and Virginia Field for this one, and then Mrs. Cooper for the other mystery. In terms of the case, the one thing that I did find a bit odd is most members of the armed forces wore their uniforms when they were out in places where they were deployed. And that should have given away that they were airmen, so I'm not certain the clue that their ship was an airplane was much of a clue at all. In some ways, the vigilance preached in these programs can seem over the top, essentially offering the assumption that an Axis spy might be listening to every casual conversation. But the truth is that there was a real problem that was being addressed. World War II saw pieces of vital information that could be of use to America's enemies diffused throughout the populations to millions of people who had no experience handling it. Most of it was innocuous in and of itself. But all it would take is a spy ring operating in the right city, in the right neighborhood, gathering that information and putting it together to do serious harm to the war effort. So it's understandable why the government viewed vigilance almost to the point of paranoia as a sensible guideline for all Americans at the time. Now, a little bit more on the broadcast. We've talked about East Coast and West Coast programs. With Ellery Queen, one thing I discovered from this website is that Ellery Queen was a series that performed episode twice. It didn't make a transcription disc throughout most of its run and have that transmitted. It would record a second program from New York. And they would actually have different armchair detectives for both the East and West Coast, which makes sense because presumably armchair detectives from the East Coast version are going to know the solution. But that means that having a version of the West Coast versus East Coast is actually a very different program. But again, Ellery Queen is one of those series that has a relatively small amount of episodes in circulation, that if we can get either East or West Coast for most of these episodes, we'll be happy. Now, if you were wondering what the other story was, according, and again, I'm quoting from this website, and I will link them in the show notes. A brand new office building gets some queer tenants even before it is officially open for occupancy. The situation leads to murder. So again, that's definitely a totally separate plot from what we got in this episode. So that does confirm to me that they dealt with two separate stories. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day, and I want to go ahead and thank Carrie. Carrie has been one of our Patreon supporters since November of 2018, currently supporting the podcast at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Carrie. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And if you're enjoying the podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. All those great things that help YouTube channels to grow. We'll be back next Tuesday with one final episode of Ellery Queen. But join us back here tomorrow for Dangerous Assignment, where...
Sir, you have met Madame Barkov, eh?
Yeah. I think she was about to paint a rather dismal picture of the situation in an effort to scare me off when you interrupted.
That was to be expected. Do sit down, monsieur.
Thanks. Who was that man you were just talking to?
Monsieur Kenko, an answer to my advertisement. Excellent references. Too excellent. He probably did not expect me to investigate them.
Look, Monsieur Ducasse, there are a few things about this case I don't follow. For one thing, how is the boy involved?
I believe she is using my son Henri to carry messages for her.
What?
It's not messages in writing, you understand. Rather, the little one carries the message in his brain.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Not so fantastic as it's...
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And check us out on Instagram, Instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.